Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
Welcome, everybody. We're in the middle of June here, and Father's Day has just passed. It's a special Father's Day holiday for me, as it's my first year where I'm the father. You know, it's a really special feeling, and I've also gave my father the normal call every year on the holiday. And you know, I think a lot of you other international business people out there understand one of the hardest sacrifices we have to make is being away from family and friends on holidays and certain events. But of course, there's these amazing benefits and experiences of doing business globally that has amazing upside as well. All right, and now for this week's show, I just had a good friend of mine, Jack Perry, ask me about receiving money in Asia. Where should he have his bank account? Does he even need a bank account here? And that fits perfectly into the episode. So, you know, bank accounts, international business, we all know it's a very hairy and scary thing. Living outside of your home country in a country that may not be as easy and transparent or culturally different is difficult and confusing. Today's show, we have Chris Moore, a buddy of mine I met on Dynamite Circle, and he moved to Shenzhen, China about 6 months ago. He discusses his process of getting a personal bank account set up in HSBC Hong Kong. And it was funny because when I asked him to be on the show and this topic, he thought it would only be a 2 or 3 minute episode because he did say it was pretty easy. But when we get into the nitty gritty and I started listing out all the different questions, he did realize this is a full show. So, you know, the purpose is to hopefully get some people more confident about doing things globally and not being so nervous. So let's listen up. All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to another Global from Asia episode. Recording live here in Shenzhen, China, and I have my friend Chris Moore here. Thanks for being here, Chris.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's a privilege to be on your show.
Sure, man, sure. We've gotten to know each other pretty well since that we met at my wedding, so that was a lot of fun. And do you mind introducing yourself to our listeners?
This is my second time in Asia. I lived in Beijing for a few years back in the 90s and the turn of the century. And now I'm back again and just hustling.
Cool, great. Yeah, and it's been fun. We've gotten to know each other over the past few months. And so recently I thought I'd get you on the show just to get some people, maybe they're intimidated or don't know where to start with a Hong Kong company and bank account or a personal account. And you just recently opened one, so I thought it'd be cool to get you on the show. So why did you think or want to get a Hong Kong account?
I wanted a Hong Kong account because with some of the people I work with, a lot of the factories here in Shenzhen, they like to pay via Hong Kong dollars and the tax rates and things are better there. Also, it's hard to get money out of China and you need a Hong Kong account anyway, even if you have a Chinese one to transfer renminbi and things like that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I've said on other shows and blogs, like when I first came to China, I thought I had to have a Chinese company and I'd do everything in China and it'd be more direct. But actually, we've all learned that even though we're in mainland China, even today recording this, we operate mostly through Hong Kong. And we also know people in Southeast Asia and around the world that do that too. So it's pretty cool. You know, I think I have a long list of kind of questions about your experience. And maybe you made an appointment or you just roll in there or how did it go?
I talked to Chris Gormley, who's been operating and has a factory here for some time, and he just recommended that I go to the HSBC Bank at 1 Queens Road Central. It's a big, iconic building created by Norman Foster. You can walk underneath it, and it's an interesting building in its own right. But you just go up to the first floor there, and you make a left, and they give you a queue, and they set you up with what they call a account relationship manager.
Yeah, I remember my first time. I got kind of lost going there because it's right in Central, which is a massive MTR stop, and I think it's Exit K, if I remember right. And you get out the exit, right, and then you in this park, and it's this massive headquarter building, right? Like you said, it's pretty amazing. So this one you chose, and then you have a personal account that you just opened, right? And do you want to expand on that?
Yeah, I just opened a personal account, and they have an offer right now. So I opened a Premier account, which normally you need 1 million Hong Kong dollars to open. It comes with some benefits. You can transfer funds for free to the U.S., to anywhere in the world. You get preferred line at the bank. So a few of the benefits you get. It's also an integrated account, which means you can hold money in 12 different currencies, including the U.S. dollar, the euro, the Swiss franc, and to do it in the renminbi, you have to go through a special process because there's been some new rules that have come into play. But having a foreign passport, if you're not Chinese or from Hong Kong, there are no limits on how much renminbi you can move around. So that's a few of the privileges you get with the Premier account.
Cool. I actually don't have one, but I hear it's pretty baller. And the you can transfer it, right, for no fee or to different countries?
Correct.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I guess Gormley has hookups or something, right? We'll link him on the show. He's actually been on our podcast too, earlier episodes, and he knows those tricks. So then you're also an American. We're both actually U.S. passport holders. So I think people are learning more and more, sometimes it's special circumstances, I'll say, doing business overseas. Was there anything different when you did that in HSBC or?
Basically the process is you just go in there and they give you you could on their website make an appointment, but I'd recommend just go in there and you get a queue and probably wait 5 or 10 minutes. And then an account manager comes and they just say that you want to open a personal bank account. They tell you the options, which is either an advanced or the premier. If they give you the premier option, do take it. After that, they ask why you want to open the account. And so that's probably one of the things you want to have in mind going in there. I just said for the convenience that I'd be transferring money from the US, they like to hear that. And they're basically just looking whether you're going to be using the account for shady purposes, which I'm not. So
got it.
Just make sure that you're prepared to answer why you're going to have the account for a way that looks legit. For example, traveling a lot in Southeast Asia, HSBC has banks all over the place. With the account, you can even hold money in like the Thai baht. And so, if I'm making money here and I want to go hang out in Thailand for a long time, I just go sign on to my online account, move money in Thai baht, no problem. And I can take it out of the banks there. So it really is a convenience factor in those ways.
Yeah.
And then the main reason for me was the business reason. So
cool. Yeah, it's really awesome. And so then also kind of back to the American citizen.
Oh yeah. Talk. So you need to have a passport and then a way to prove your address. And I brought my papers from my rental agreement in China, and that was not sufficient. And so I used my U.S. driver's license. And so they've actually sent my card to the U.S.
Wow.
So that's something to have in mind. The things that do work are government-issued IDs or something with your name on it, say from a utility company. Yeah. Would work.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm glad to have you on the show because I haven't done it in a while. And mine goes to goes to China. I just recently switched to Hong Kong. But yeah, I had to bring in, I think, proof of my bank statement, in my China statements, I remember. And I brought in, some utility bills. But it took me a couple of trips there. And so also, back to U.S., the IRS or, taxes, what are you planning? And what's your idea there?
As far as I understand from my accountant, with the IRS and having any sort of banks outside of the U.S., you're required to report in aggregate if any of your banks in aggregate. So you could have, say, a bank here, a bank in Australia, a bank somewhere else. But if any period during the 12-month reporting, all of those added together equal more than 10,000 USD, then you're required to fill out some forms on that.
Got it.
But if it's under that, you don't need to report it.
Yeah, I don't think either of us are like enjoy talking about this, but maybe I could also link. Andrew Layden was on our show before, and he talked about FBAR and other things. But yeah, that's not our focus for today. But you know, I guess also if depending on where your passport is, especially Americans, I think other countries anywhere has worldwide tax, which Americans do. That's where it gets a little bit tricky with having foreign bank accounts. So you know, of course, you guys. Don't hold us liable and do your own due diligence on taxes. It's not a fun topic, but so
I know a lot of people when thinking about foreign banking, especially if you're from the U.S. and you're not a big time traveler, it often might sound shady or something because the only things reported in the news or in other media about foreign bank account is like overseas banking, secrecy, hiding money, things like that. There's nothing unusual about having a bank account overseas, especially if you're living abroad or your business is online, digital nomad, location independent, you're on the move, you need to have some place to operate out of to control your finances. Hong Kong, a lot of people choose it because of the rules and things there. But it's not for, like I said, secret purposes, and there's nothing to fear in opening a foreign bank account.
True. I think a lot of times people around the world complain that Americans are so insular, right? We don't know other countries and cultures. Sometimes I think maybe it's the media in America that makes it seem like doing international business is illegal or is, you know, you're going to get in trouble with the taxes. But there's nothing wrong with Americans doing business overseas, right, and living overseas. So, you know, of course, you know, you can't ask you're selling to Chinese factories, right? Your services, you're not going to tell them to wire you money to America for anybody, right? You don't want to make it inconvenient for your client or anybody. I mean, you don't want to make it hard for people to give you money, right? You want the easiest way to get money. So, you know, that's a good point. Thanks for bringing that up.
And I know there was recently in the news, there was a huge investigative thing on secrecy for sale inside the global offshore money maze. And this was like one of the biggest investigative journalist things I've ever done. And I know that got a lot of press. It was with the BBC. And so it's things like this that makes people like kind of scared about, oh, if I go into a foreign bank and I don't live there, am I going to have a problem? You know, am I going to get in trouble? It's not as long as you're doing it for legitimate purposes. So
I think of Wolf of Wall Street when, you know, they go over to Switzerland and of course, he's actually legitimately doing it to hide his money from America, right? So of course, that's the reason, that's why, you know, they don't want you to do, right? But if you're not doing anything shady, like Chris says, and you're just really doing it to operate better in Asia or in another country, but yeah, I don't recommend trying to use it to hide money from America. Actually, I think Hong Kong does comply if the US were to ask this passport number, do they have bank accounts here? I don't think they're gonna protect you. I think they'll probably give it, but
if you want to hide money, I'll send you my PayPal link. But I might hide it so well you might not get it back.
All right, we'll link your PayPal on the show notes. Anybody wants to send money there? Okay, cool. So you already kind of, I have this as a point, but you know, you already talked about documents, right? So documents, of course, your passport and like a proof of address, which I think normally is a driver's license from wherever you have your driver's license, and if not that, like utility bills or something that's a legitimate company that proves that you received mail at that address.
Correct. So you could even use something that has your name on it in wherever you live.
Mm.
Yeah. But be aware that they might send some info to that. And they do prefer to keep everything online.
Yep. We haven't talked about getting a cell phone, but actually, sometimes they want to make sure you receive mail there, so they'll send stuff there. And I had a friend that didn't get the mail there, and they froze his account. Not his bank account, but his telephone account, because he didn't receive mail at that address. Actually, some of these virtual offices sometimes don't really always get you the mail. So, you know, he had to kind of quickly find an address that would actually receive the bill. And so this process, how long does it take? Are you finished, or I know you're just
20 or 30 minutes.
Okay.
And one of the main motivators for me to get this was because I'm getting paid over here, and I buy a lot of things online, and I need PayPal for different services, and that's not really possible to do from mainland China. So I did open all this stuff for that reason, and then I came back to Shenzhen, and then went to go open my PayPal account, but I have to fill out some more paperwork. So that you can do transfers and things online.
Yeah.
So I probably, knowing what I know now, would have done that on site, but I can mail the paperwork there or go back. So just a note.
Just make sure I'm clear. I know you brought up PayPal. I'm kind of dreading doing a show about PayPal, but I think we have to do a show about PayPal. Your paperwork for your bank account?
No, just,
or for your personal?
For the bank, they default your online fund transfers to zero. So it's not just for PayPal, it's for any of the fund transfers, which makes the account useful. And so you have to fill out extra paperwork for that.
Got it.
And you can print it out online and mail it to them, and it probably has about a week turnaround, or you can do it on site. And then another thing for people in China, to get an account in renminbi, it doesn't automatically happen. And so you've got to go in there and do that on site.
Yeah, actually, honestly, I don't have an RMB account with Hong Kong.
I think I already mentioned that.
Though. But that's not...
edit point.
It's good. I mean, I should even look into that one. So then the process, 20, 30 minutes, but did you get an ATM card or a debit card at that point?
Yeah, they gave me they give you the card immediately.
Okay.
As I said before, there's a card that's being shipped. It's because first I opened the advanced account, and then I found out the guy had offered me the Premier, and I wasn't aware of all the advantages you get with that. And so I went back to the same guy the next day and said, oh, I actually want the Premier account. And so since it wasn't my first interaction, they sent the card.
And then actually my cards don't have like a Visa MasterCard to zeros, because I know sometimes certain... Can you use it as a debit card, do you know? Or
For these are linked up. The Hong Kong banks are with UnionPay. But with the Premier and the advanced account, you can get credit cards with those.
Mm.
And so it's easier to get a credit card issued with the Premier account. And so that would link you up into Visa and all those other convenient services.
We talk about PayPal. PayPal, I think you have to have a card that has a Visa MasterCard on it from when I verified PayPal.
I verified my PayPal just by going on to PayPal, creating a new PayPal account, connecting it to this bank, and then PayPal puts like 30 cents into the bank, and then you go back and it verifies it.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I've already learned there's been a lot of changes in all these processes since I've done them, so I think that's good. That was pretty easy. And then your address, you said already U.S., so it's your mail is going.
Yeah, they used the address to the U.S. because I forgot to go online, which I can access and change my address to the address here.
Okay.
Because
actually, I don't even know where some of my mail. I don't know how sale goes.
I have no idea where I don't get mail here. I get it sent to a friend's company.
Exactly, and I think we already covered this, but I'm just trying to make sure the card works in China.
Yeah,
ATMs.
Yeah. When you get your card, let them know that you're just passing through, so that they release it for use overseas. And like if you go and use it immediately in Hong Kong, it says contact us before leaving, so that this is usable outside of Hong Kong.
Yeah, I remember actually. I think I did it you can do it at the ATM in Hong Kong. I remember I set my daily withdrawal limit, so that kind of could protect you from going out partying and withdrawing all your cash. So there's limits I think you can set yourself. I think it's adjustable of making it work overseas or not. And of course, everybody's probably curious, or what are fees of the bank account?
Currently there are, because I got the promotion or whatever they're doing for the Premier, so there's no fees for the first year. There's no fees on transfers, things like that. International, which is huge, because normally that stuff costs $50.
I pay like $45 in the US.
$45 per transfer, so there's none with the Premier account. If you don't have $1 million Hong Kong in the account at the end of the year, I think they charge something like $30 or $40 per month to maintain your Premier status.
Hong Kong dollars?
Yeah,
Hong Kong dollars, which isn't that bad.
US dollars? Yeah,
US
I think
dollars.
It's 350 Hong Kong dollars.
Okay. Which, you know, might be worth it depending on how many wires you do and you know, all these perks. And then, so we already, it's a question on my list, but you already covered currencies. So you say you can hold currencies in multiple.
Yeah, it's called like integrated account. And for the advanced and the Premier account, this is a feature of both of them. But you can hold 12 currencies. And so you can just sign on and you can move currencies within your name to the different accounts. I didn't write out what they all are, but you can add the renminbi one. Of course, you have Hong Kong, you have US, you have Euro, you have New Zealand dollar, Australian dollar, the Japanese yen, the French franc, the Swiss. I think I missed a few in there, but Yeah, it's pretty flexible. But most of the major currencies you can hold in there. Also Thai Baht.
Yeah.
Thai Baht.
Which is also, you know, just still amazing. I don't think in the U.S., maybe I'm wrong, I don't know any account in the U.S. where you can hold non-U.S. dollar. I think they force you to usually convert it. But, you know, I think that's obviously one of the benefits of...
And you can hold gold.
Oh, wow.
I had never seen that on an account I've had before. When you sign on, it says, you know, add gold here.
Makes you think if one day there'll be Bitcoin, too, as a currency. But yeah. My last question is the exchange rates. So, you know, I guess there's no exchange rate if you're holding baht and then you withdraw baht and in Thailand, right? But if, say, you have dollars and you're in Thailand, I think it auto-converts it. I'm not sure if you even know the answer.
If you want to convert, say if you have all your money in Hong Kong dollars or all your money in US dollars, actually on the transfer area, you can input what you want the conversion rate to be or like a minimum or max. And then it gives you, you know, it won't convert right at that time. And if the conversion rates are fluctuating, when it hits the point that you would like it converted at, it will move that money.
Cool.
So there's some flexibility there. I haven't done that yet, but...
Cool. I think it's amazing. You know, like, actually, when you and I were talking about this show, we thought it wouldn't be enough to even talk about, but there are all these, like, details. But, yeah, I think the main point, right, is it's not that hard. I mean, of course, there's these small details about, you know, currencies and stuff, but once it's going in the online... I didn't bring it up on here, but the online banking, I think, is amazing, right?
Yeah.
HSBC, like, it's English and, you know, 24 hours a day, of course, and... You can see your currency balances. You can change foreign exchange rates, like right there. I'm pretty amazed.
It's a whole wealth management interface. I mean, you could do stocks, bonds, all different kind of stuff. I haven't dove into all that. And like I said, you have keep accounts in gold, which is something new to me.
Cool. All right, Chris. And you know, thanks for being on the show. And well, is there ways maybe you want people to reach out to you or?
If you want to get in touch with me, I'll have Mike. Put a link to one of my profiles or an email on the show notes.
Cool, cool. All right. Thanks, Chris.
All right. Excellent. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye, guys. Thank you for that, Chris. Really appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun to watch him getting over here in China. And like I said, he on the beginning of the show, when I introduced him, he came to my wedding. And it was the first time we'd actually met face-to-face, which was pretty hilarious. So, you know, getting him set up here, watching him kind of get clients and figuring out what's best for him and his business. Step by step, we can all make things happen. Just got to be persistent. I'm also getting a lot of questions about, you know, how to do business between Hong Kong and mainland China, as well as Southeast Asia and other parts of the world, and how do you balance bank accounts and all kinds of fun kind of accounting and global business stuff. I'm actually familiar with this. I'm trying to think of others who I could interview and some other topics too. I love the feedback and I love suggestions. So anybody's got something to say, please just shoot me a note or let me know. Thanks, guys.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.